Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Amen. How many folk know that to be the case today? Wherever you go, the place ought to turn holy. When you walk into your home, you'll say, wait a minute, this is a holy place. When you go to your cubicle at work, sanctify that area and say, you know what? This is a holy space. You get in your car and you're driving down the road. So you know what? It's a holy car. Why? Because I brought the presence of God in this place. Not saying that you're holier than thou, but the Spirit of God that lives in you ought to travel. Amen? That wherever you go, it ought to be a holy place. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. As we come today, we thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. It's already been declared. You don't really need anybody to preach it for you. The Bible says that you are the word. And in the beginning, the word was God, and the word was with God. As we come today, God, we pray that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save somebody today. Encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a word today we want to declare before you in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I want to preach today and over the next couple of Sundays from the sermonic title, Signs of the Times. Signs of the Times. This past month, Maryland passed hundreds of new laws. Everything from increasing the age in which you could buy cigarettes, whether you could buy a vape, a new law that would tax online sales, a law that would ban bump stocks from firearms. And breaking these laws or any others that are on the books, there are consequences. You will pay a fine. And depending on what it is, you may serve time in jail. Amen? Now, I've been to jail for the prison ministry, never been in jail. But thank God for Jesus that I didn't get caught up in some of the stuff that could have landed me in jail. Well, that'll preach all by itself, my holier-than-thou church. Amen? There is man's law, but there's also God's law. Contained in the writ in the Holy Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Psalm 19 and 7 reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. That word will do all of that. But somewhere along the way, we have just disobeyed God's law. We've broken the law and seemingly gotten away with it because we are dealing with evil in our society. Yeah. Your mother and father told you how bad things were, and you did not believe them until you became an adult and picked up adult responsibilities and had adult challenges and adult issues. There really is a war going on between good and evil. But I love what the word says in 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. In other words, God wins it in the end. He always does. But that said, I believe that among non-believers of Jesus Christ and believers that we're witnessing signs of the times. In our text this morning, it is the Apostle Paul who writes from a Roman prison. When I read this text, it did something to me because this was Paul's very last letter. He had gone before the Supreme Court of Rome. They have found him guilty of doing what we do now, that is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that he had a death sentence coming his way. Can you imagine knowing that there's a time and place set in which your life would end? But that did not discourage him. So he writes his very last words to Timothy, his son in the ministry. Theologians believe that Paul was about 61. He's about my age. Amen. Knowing he had done all he could for the kingdom, he writes to a younger understudy by the name of Timothy. He's about 40 years old. He told them, Timothy, I want you to know this, that we're living in perilous times. And the word perilous means difficult times. It means troubling times. It means uneasy times. It means trying times. It means hard times. It means violent times. It means threatening times. It means dangerous times. The world is a rough place. And so he writes then saying, I want to let you know that things are rough and tough. And while he may have been speaking to that society, I would say today that we're living in the last days. Yeah. Now, Reverend, don't try to close it down too soon now. I got things I got to do. But you know what? The Bible says that no one knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall return, but he is coming back. Amen? And the saints of that day believed that he might come back the next day. And so there was a certain urgency about getting the word out about Jesus Christ. I think we've lost that urgency. Oh, just sow your wild oats. You got time. Don't worry about it. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. But I've come to tell you that, amen, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're living in the last days. He said, Timothy, mark this. Amen? And we know that the times are dangerous by walking down the corner, by going to a particular area. I always contend that on any given night, every neighborhood is a dangerous neighborhood. I mean, they're just night people who lurk all night long, trying to get in your house, get in your car, no matter where you live, on Knob Hill or anywhere. We live in dangerous times. And Paul reminds Timothy in this letter that it is easy to become sidetracked with all the things of life. Easy to get amnesia. But Paul is sharing does not come from a crystal ball. It does not come from Mother Rose. It is personal. Paul has experienced a thing or two. Here's what I love about Paul. Paul was a rascal before he started preaching. Paul was a rough neck before he started telling folks they ought to return to Jesus. And so he speaks as someone who's got some cred. Amen? Ever talk to anybody telling you how to live and ain't been through nothing? Amen? What have you done? Nothing. Well, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. But when you've been through some things in life, you've got a testimony on what God can do and what God will bring you through. These are dangerous times. a whole year we've been talking about just do it. James 1:22. 23, the next verse says, don't you know when you go in front of a mirror that you forget what you look like? That you see yourself, you, wait a minute, is that me? And you come back and don't recognize you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But when I look at the text today, I want to say to you, here's a disclaimer. This is not a finger-pointing sermon. It is a sermon that will point each of us toward a Christ-filled life. Yeah. So, here's the assignment. There's a good chance we may find ourselves in those 18 characteristics evident in the last days. Now, I'm not going to preach all 18 today. I'm going to break it up because it's that good. Six this Sunday, and six next Sunday, and six the following Sunday. So we're going to cover six of these characteristics that will show us and give us indication that we're living in the last days based on what we see around us or in our mirrors. Some of the signs. People, not maybe, people will be lovers of themselves. Self-centered. Selfish. Focused on oneself and one's pleasure and me, myself, and I. They promote themselves as being more important than anyone else. They always want the headline and the follow-up. Everything should resolve or revolve around them. Know anybody like that? Yeah. I mean, they love themselves some self. Yeah. Now, while that's healthy psychologically, there's a point that you begin to put too much emphasis on you. I know you're all that in a bag of chips. But the Bible says you'll become so into you, such a lover of yourself. And Romans 1:23 tells us this. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt with each of us a measure of faith. It's okay to feel good about yourself, but it gets to a point you start loving yourself some self. Amen? The Bible says when you see that, that is a sign of the last days. Lovers of money. Now, this is someone who seeks wealth and possession. I didn't say stop your investments. Stop contributing to your 401k. You earned it. Baby, you put in 40. The man got to pay you. But you got to pay bills. But when you start loving money so much and that you begin to do what? To live by your dollar. To be identified by your bank account. I mean, I like money because money can buy things and money can pay bills and money can allow you to tithe. Hello, church. But all I'm saying is you can't become a lover of money. I mean, you know, truth be told, sometimes you got a dollar or two and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you pay every bill and still owe the man some more, but I'll love it. But I'm glad to have it. But he says there's some folk who will just love money, run over you to get a dollar, knock you in the head to give you a dollar. But 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money, the love of money, you and money, the love of money is the root of all evil. This does not mean that money is evil. But when you start loving money more than you love God, loving that paycheck more than you love your family, loving the overtime, double time turnaround more than you love your family, you love money. Be careful for folk who love it just a little too much. Amen? There will be folk who will be boastful. Somebody who loves to brag. Brag about what they have. Brag about what they've done. Set themselves up as being the be-all and the end-all. Anybody like that, you know? They think they really are all that, and they're always bragging. Always say, well, you know, I got a 2019, I got a 19 Deluxe. You know, I've got that plus. Always trying to get upper hand on you, just boasting about who they are and boasting about what they have, material things. You know what? We all know that those things will pass away. Amen? The old folks will say, I never saw a Brinks truck following. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they're going to hearse. I never saw somebody say, you know what? Because when you go, it's gone. But to boast about you, Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, of their strength, of their riches, but be sure that you put God first. So these are the kinds of people we run into and the kinds of lifestyles and characteristics that we may have had at some point before God began to transform us. Can you take about three more? Okay, it says folk will be proud, abusive, and disobedient to their parents. Proud, just plain arrogant, conceited, impressed with themselves. They look all right, but they're impressed with their beauty and their intelligence and their power and their position. Amen? That was Satan's problem. He really thought he was all of that, to the point that he wanted all the honor and the glory as Lucifer. And guess what? He fell. And God kicked him out of the heavenlies. And Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We got to be careful of folk that we see like that. The end of the text says, don't have nothing to do with those folk. And we can recognize them because at some point it was us. Uh-oh, can I flip this thing back over? There's some proudness in us. There's some boastfulness in us. Amen. There's some lovers of money in us. There's some lovers of self in us. But this goes on to say, don't be abusive. There are abusive people. This is someone who will curse someone or slander them. They speak evil of God. They speak evil of his children. They speak evil about the work of God. And I don't have any poll to suggest this, but I hear there's a rise in cursing. Can I just go country? There's a rise in cussing. Amen? All right. I've testified before. I was never a good cusser. We've all said some words. I could never succeed in putting a sentence together that sounded like you were cussing somebody out. So I gave up and said, that's not for me. But some of us have foul mouths that will slip and dip. But it says it's when you use that tongue to abuse people and talk down to people and talk about people. Signs of the last days. Signs and wonders. They speak evil. And people think nothing nowadays of just letting it go. Let me just ask you to testify. You ever ran somebody down? Not this week. With your tongue. I ain't talking about nobody, but you just laid them out. And then had the Holy Spirit to come back and say, wait a minute. Now you know you were wrong. Ever been convicted that way, or is it just me? That I ain't talking about nobody, but you really did. And you ran them down. And the Bible says, can sweet water and bitter water come out of the same faucet? James says, the tongue also is a fire. James 3:6. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. Itself is set on fire by hell. Oh, well, that's 5 of the 6. And he says this, that you'll know we're living in the last days. And you have the signs and wonders based on the fact that folk are disobedient to their parents. disobedient. Not just children, but grown folk. It's when you refuse to obey your parents. It's when you show them disrespect. I mean, they did bring you in this world. They loved you. They raised you. They taught you a lesson or two. And yet we have turned our backs on our parents. I contend the parents of all would find the nearest shoe. They would find the nearest item. Amen. They wouldn't go have that. My late father told me and my brother numerous times, if you ever get to a point you want to beat me, let me know. I'll get my gun and I will kill you. Now that was sound like abusive language. But there's been a disrespect for parents. Amen? And it should not be allowed. Ten Commandments, one of them says, Exodus 20 and 12, honor your mother and your father, that the days shall be long and the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. Oh, well, those are just six characteristics that when you see these at work, they're signs of the times. Well, in times like these, when a two-year-old child is shot as a result of road rage, in times like these, when everyday America, crime is taking place in every part of the nation, in times like these, when there's chaos on one side of Pennsylvania Avenue to the other. Yes, I said it. Signs of the times. When we will scream for our favorite team, but refuse to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I love my team, but when you scream louder for a touchdown than you do for a thank you, Jesus, there are signs of the time. In times like these, we need some joy. For the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In times like these, we need some peace. Amen? Peace that passeth all understanding. In times like these, we need more love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In times like these, we need the word of God. Yeah, we do. That word is what? It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. In times like these, we need a Savior. A Savior who died on an old rugged cross. Can I explain it the best way? I know how. That they beat him all night long. And yet was asked to carry his own cross. In times like these, we need a Savior. Somebody who will be an anchor. And the hymn writer says that what? That we need an anchor. An anchor that holds and grips the solid rock. And sometimes in life, when the winds are blowing, aren't you glad that your life has been anchored in the Lord? Or you're not with me today when trials and tribulations come your way. When backbiting is on the menu. When people are talking about you and you're just trying to remain anchored. We got to put our hope in the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And aren't you glad today that Jesus is a rock? He's a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in the time of storm. I just stopped by today to tell you that these are some signs and wonders. That when folks start acting crazy, you better check your watch. When folks start doing crazy things, no, it won't be long. But aren't you glad today that you've been anchored in the Lord? That when he cracks the sky, I've got my ticket. Do you have your ticket today to know that when things get crazy and when things you can't understand, that Jesus is still the light of the world. That there are some things that we see that give us a snapshot. That's the word of God. Signs of the times, part one. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, stand today. We see those characteristics and say, well, not me. At some point, that was you, that was me. Until the Lord came along and changed our outlook. Ever tell your friends, man, people done got crazy. We see crazy stuff. But God can transform us. Just come as you are. Let him do the work. Receive.
Come and live forever.
That's it.
Life everlasting.
That's the promise today. As I come today, this is not meant to be a gloom and doom sermon, but an opportunity for us to get it right. These were Paul's very last words to Timothy. It's about our behavior as believers. We see things around us that give us indication that the Lord is not pleased. As I think about what we all face in this world, not to say that I'm perfect or you perfect, we're not, far from it. But there are just some things that are just ungodly that we see happening in our midst. All the more reason we ought to pray more, encourage more, judge less, but let somebody know that if he can do it for me. The first six, yeah.
That's right.
But when folk know that you're not on this pedestal,
that's right,
when they know that you're not, I'm a church person,
right,
they'll be willing to come to Jesus.
Amen.
Say, you mean you were like that? Oh man, let me tell you.
Yeah.
If you only knew. But
it's
something about the transforming power,
yes,
of God.
Yes.
Let's bow today. Father, we come in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You have the prescription for all of these ills,
yes,
that society is facing.
Yes.
But you work through Paul just to point them out,
yes,
so we might be aware.
Yes,
Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's someone in this place today who has never surrendered their life to you, that means jump all the way in.
Yeah.
and say, I'm going to be with Jesus regardless. I pray even now, God, that you might save their soul. And we know you can do it because you did it for us today. There may be one today. There might be one that's not real sure, a little cloudy about what does it mean to have eternal life.
Yes, ma'am.
Bible says you've got to first confess it and believe that God is who he say he is. Why not believe there's not a God? There's too much happening to believe that God is not real. But may they accept your son, Jesus Christ. God, today we claim one for you in your name. If you're here today, whisper that prayer today. Dear God, I am a sinner. I'm on the list, 18 plus. But God, I pray even now that you might touch that heart. Ask the Lord to come into your life today. Ask him to save you today. He will do it. Do it today, we pray, even now. Save that soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a praise today. Amen. Well, next Sunday, we'll pick up Signs of the Times, part number 2. But during the week, just take time to go over that list. Look at it.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired. Of course, by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.